Over half of the American population doesn't know their blood type. Raven, do you know your blood type?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can look it up on, like, you know, my chart or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know it off the top of my head.
What's your zodiac sign?
Capricorn.
Okay. So what I found fascinating that I didn't believe was true is that more people, 71% of people, know their horoscope, but they mm-hmm. don't know their blood type. So if you're in a terrible car wreck and the doctors say, you only have 30 seconds to live, but you have to tell us your blood type.
Yeah.
You would be, well, let's just say it's not going to turn out well.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a terrible car accident and mm-hmm. They typed my blood because I was unconscious.
Okay.
So hoping that the same thing doesn't happen again, but if it does, you know, they do the same thing, but you know. You're right. I mean, it's a misuse of memory.
Yeah.
Definitely people should remember their blood type over their zodiac sign.
I know my blood type, my husband's blood type, my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I know all those things.
Do you have all the same?
Yeah. So it's made it a lot easier since they're all the same.
Good.
We're O positive, by the way. But also.
Congratulations.
I also made it my duty to memorize my husband's social security number.
Okay.
Because I found that every time I had to fill out doctor's forms, it would ask for his social security number or like the school stuff.
Yeah.
And I got so tired of texting him and him not responding fast enough.
Mm.
So I memorized his social security number and my own. Do you
I have
yours?
Hers written down.
You don't have yours memorized either?
Oh, I know mine and I have my wife's written down. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm in good shape with both of those. I mean, certain things you're supposed to just know. Everybody the world over should know. But sometimes things fall through the cracks.
All right. So what's something that everybody should know? Hands down.
When you get on a bus, how to get off the bus. So you ever get on like a public bus and you've never been on a bus before and you don't know that you've got to either pull that string or hit the button to tell the bus driver that you want to stop?
Oh, really?
So you just keep going because you don't want to be the only person on the bus who looks like the idiot and goes, no, stop, because that's not how people use it.
That's so funny. That happened to me in New Orleans. I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't know. Like, and I didn't really know where we were going. We just rode it to the end. And we're like, okay,
the
now
the first
what?
Time you're ever on a bus, it's terrifying once the moment hits you that you're like, crap, I don't know how to get off this thing.
The best thing I learned that I didn't know until a few years ago was if you don't know what side your gas tank is on in your car,
yes.
That if you look on your dashboard where it shows the little gas light, there's an arrow. And the way the arrow next to it is pointing is the side of your car where your gas tank is. And I know what you're probably thinking, like, well, Anna, don't you just remember what side? No, because my husband and I have two different cars. We use them interchangeably, and they're on different sides on both cars, and I never remember which is which.
Everybody should know there's the little arrow there.
Yeah.
But if you're on a bus, you won't have to worry about gassing up, because you'll still be on it, because you don't know how to get off.
One of the hardest parts about online dating is writing the first line to get the conversation going with someone. Mm. And Raven, producer John had mentioned yesterday that there was a few women that he had liked on his online dating app, but he didn't know how to start conversations. So I figure we would figure out how the experts say to do it.
I mean, that's what we do for a living. So yeah, we could probably be some sort of assistance on this.
All right. So producer John, here's what they say are the best opening lines for online dating. You could ask them a question like, how was your weekend?
Nope.
I can't stand when people ask me how my weekend was.
I mean, you don't even know me.
Ask them about something specific noted in their profile. Good. That's not a bad idea because it shows that you're engaged and you're actually reading about them and you want to learn more about them.
Only one problem. Maybe they wrote that, you know, 9 months ago. You know, they were in a hurry. They were just like, let me get this photo up here because, you know, I'm hot. I'm going to bring some interest anyways.
Another thing that you're supposed to do to do the best opening line for online dating.
Mm.
If online dating makes you nervous, admit it. This is like sneaky good because it makes you look vulnerable, right? And then girls are like, oh, like, he's nice. He's a nice guy.
He's nervous.
He's nervous around me.
You should bring your guitar and sing them a song you wrote for them before you met them.
Too much. Ask them what was the best movie they've ever seen in a theater.
No.
Dumb. Ask them a this or that question. I'd be like, get out of here, weirdo. This or that. Get out of here.
You can't lead with that.
No.
You can't lead with. I mean, you can play that game later.
Yeah. And the last one, ask them to describe their job in the funniest way possible. That one I thought was kind of interesting, right? It asks you to be kind of creative. All right, so John, show me these three girls, and I'm going to help you write something to them, each of them.
Okay, cool. So this first one goes simply by the name Must Love Music.
Oh, but you love music.
Wow.
You love music.
Probably what was drawn, you know.
That should be my opening line. Like, wow. I like music too.
Right.
British born
definitely
and
gonna
raised.
Definitely going to get married. Oh, You know I like that.
Hello, Governor.
British born and raised, looking for someone who's on the same frequency. We don't have to share the same love language, but be open to get to know each other. I mean, she sounds weird, but sure.
I mean, she sounds fantastic,
actually. Surreal person.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I'm a dog mom and a music fanatic. Let's see if we like each other enough to one day share a bath. Too much, lady.
Let me see this photo. Come on. Let me see this.
It's like a booty photo.
Oh.
You can't even
Raven's
see her
not
face.
Mad at it.
You can't even see her face.
All right.
All right. So to her, you are going to do something about her profile. So you're going to say, oh my gosh, British born and raised. Did you read Prince Harry's new book? How do you feel about it?
No.
But I didn't read it.
Why
I know nothing about it.
Why would that be the thing that he leads with?
Oh, that would be what I would suggest. Show me another girl.
All right.
Jeez.
All right. Give me this thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is Samarni.
Samarni also wearing a crop top. Nice abs, Samarni. Okay.
All right. All right, Samarni. Working for it.
I don't care that you're 6 feet tall. I peaked in high school. I watched Les Anderson films on mute.
Wes Anderson, but yes.
Wes Anderson. What did I say?
Less.
Yeah.
Anyone know where I can get fried ice cream? I actually do. Okay. So her, you do the thing about if online dating makes you nervous, admit it. So you say, hi, I've been trying to find the right thing to write to start a conversation with you, but I've deleted 100 different times because I'm not sure what to say to sound good enough to get your attention.
Oh, that sounds all right.
Wait. So, ... hi.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
She gave us something, though.
Yeah.
She gave me a layup. The fried ice cream question. Tell me where to find the fried ice cream.
Well, you just go to any Mexican restaurant, and that's where you find the fried
Delicious.
Ice cream. I mean, have you ever been to a Mexican restaurant?
I feel like the move right now is to Google Mexican restaurants, but okay, I will take your advice.
Is there another option here?
No, that's it. That's the only thing that you can do. Try those two and see what happens.
All right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you nuts right now? You want to get it off your chest? So easy. Just call 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Patty.
Yeah. If you're a grown man and you show up at the dog park with flip-flops and short shorts and a dog jumps on you and you get mad at them, that's all I need to know about you.
It's never a good idea to wear flip-flops to the dog park.
Or really short shorts.
You're asking for a problem there.
Right. And, I mean, in general, short shorts are a problem.
Unless I'm tanning or playing tennis in the 70s.
Dallas, that's all I need to know about you.
So, if you can't put the shopping cart back, that's all I need to know.
Oh.
Right? Like, it's like the easiest litmus test for people. Even worse is the people who put it into just the empty parking space next to them.
Yeah, I mean, the middle of the parking space, right? I got to be honest, I don't respect my car enough, so I'll pull right in that parking space anyways. I'll roll the dice. I'll get real close to that thing. I don't care. I've already got scratches.
I mean, the cheap way around it and not bringing it back is to put it on, like, the ledge of, like, you know, sometimes.
Put it on the curb.
Like, yeah, the curb of a divider or something
right.
At least.
Like, that's, like, the bare minimum I feel like you can do. But now, like, every parking lot, like, you go to Target, there's, like, 100 of the car return thing. My mom was always like, if you can't put the car back, like, what kind of person are you? And then it just stuck for life.
It's true. It's 100% accurate.
Your mother, dead on with it.
Andrea, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you are the type of person that your card keeps getting declined and you keep whipping out a different credit card, that is all I need to know about you. Seriously. I was just out with a friend who kept doing that, and I'm like, oh, I know who this person is.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. I have to be with that person.
But what are you supposed to do? I mean, you still have to pay your bill.
No,
right?
Of course.
So, yeah, so you better go to another card. If I'm standing there, I'm the waiter. Yeah, you better have another card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, but it's one thing when it's two. But when somebody doesn't flinch and they're on their third or fourth card, like, go home. Like, you don't belong to be out
after
that
you
time.
Pay the bill.
Right.
Then you can go home. You ain't going nowhere until you pay this bill.
Right.
But you're right, though. There's the people that go out there. They know they don't have any cash or they don't have any room. And they like, it doesn't even bother them. Anytime my card has been declined, I am humiliated, no matter what the circumstances are behind it. Whether I gave a wrong card, whether it was one that there was a security reason why it was denied. Every single time, I'm humiliated. I can't imagine that that's just my norm.
Yeah. After the second card, I would have just bought my friend's meal and then said, okay, we're leaving. But that's me.
I got it this time.
I would have just said, no, and let them figure that out after. But that's me.
Here's something I thought I would never say. thinking about going gluten-free. My best friend, Danielle, she's gluten-free now. Mm. You know how I know that, Raven?
Why?
Because she tells me every hour. Yep.
Yeah, it's one of those type things.
Yeah, she reminds me all the time. But when she started, she didn't test positive, but she had a lot of sensitivities. Over 2 million Americans have celiac disease. And the truth is that if you have celiac disease, you have to go gluten-free. Otherwise, you're really sick, right?
This is different.
So here's, if you have any of these symptoms, a lot of times you choose to go gluten-free just to help.
Not only does it lead to iron and other nutritional deficiencies, but it also leads to symptoms like stomach pain, bloating, diarrhea, skin rashes, weight loss, bone problems, and even behavioral issues.
Behavioral issues?
I mean, it sounds like a lot of stuff up and down there. It was like a bit of a roller coaster.
All right. So anyway, Danielle, my best friend, told me that a lot of the foods take exactly the same. You wouldn't even tell the difference, mm-hmm. right? So we thought we would do a blind taste test. Raven, please put on your blindfold.
Yeah, I'll agree to anything as long as it involves some food.
All right. We're going to start. And producer John, you're going to feed Raven, okay?
Yep.
All right.
Sexy process.
The tortilla chip is going to be first. I bought gluten-free tortilla chips and then regular tortilla chips. All right. All right. So you're going to eat that one first. Mm-hmm. And then, all right, mm-hmm. you're going to swallow that one. Mm-hmm. All right. And now you're going to, what do you think, that's regular or gluten-free?
I mean, I don't know. It tastes like a chip.
Okay, do the other one and see if you can taste the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Watching John feed you is very strange, for the record.
So, the second one tastes a little bit saltier. I'm going to say the first one was gluten-free.
Yeah, you have to talk into the mic. It's funny because now producer John has to turn
it. I can't see anything.
All right, which one? You said the first one is gluten-free?
I think the first one was probably the gluten-free.
No, it wasn't. It was the other way around. The second one was gluten-free.
Wow, that was actually... All right. I would choose the gluten-free on that one.
Let's do the Oreos next. So one is a straight Oreo, mm-hmm. and one is what they call glutini. I can't see which one you put. John, put one in his mouth. Put it in your mouth. Okay. One is a glutini. One is an Oreo cookie. Where's the other one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Which one do you think is gluten-free, and which one do you think is just a regular Oreo? Can you tell the difference?
I think the second one was the regular Oreo.
That is correct.
All right, so you got that right. But would you tell, would you care if you were having one or the other?
They were both delicious. The first one was actually sweeter, and in some ways I don't think it was better for me, but I mean,
funny you should say that. The glutini Oreos have 6 more calories per cookie than the Oreos, the regular Oreos. Like, people always say, like, oh, it's healthy to be gluten-free. Sure, it's healthier if your body needs it, but it's not less calories. Like,
is it like additives, though? Like, is it like an artificial sweetener?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that. Last one. Chocolate. All right, we have, these are dark chocolate. Regular dark chocolate and gluten-free. Feed them. Oh, it's so romantic. It's like Valentine's Day.
Awful.
Did you just lick John's finger?
Gaping maw that I have to put the, Last time he held his hand out, this time he refused. He made me put it in his mouth.
Feed him. Mm-hmm. Feed that mouth.
God.
Feed that mouth.
This piece is so small, I have to get so close to the mouth.
All right, put it in his mouth. Touch him. Oh, gosh. All right. All right, which one is gluten-free? You're not even facing the microphone. Turn around. Which one is gluten-free and which one is not?
I can tell zero difference in both of these dark chocolate.
All right. So, John, which was which?
The second one was gluten-free.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. You can take off your blindfold now. Would you have known the difference if that was regular food? Would you have cared?
No.
All right. So, I guess we'll see.
I mean, wow.
If you make less than $30,000 a year, a new survey says that you're undateable. It's harsh,
well,
right?
I mean, it is harsh, but let's face it, with today's economic, situations, I believe it. You know, it's really difficult to exist.
Yeah, it's been deemed the number one dating deal breaker. But one of my single friends just stopped talking to this guy. We had dinner over the weekend, and we were giggling about it.
Okay.
She kind of ghosted him.
She was laughing at this dude.
Because he was like a serious like business guy, mm-hmm. all put together. But then he would come home and he would just watch cartoons. But not cartoons like Peppa Pig and Bluey like your kids watch.
Yeah.
He would watch like Beavis and Butthead and Rick
South
and Morty.
Park
and, yeah, and like all those. She even rattled off some I'd never even heard of before.
Yeah.
Like, and she was like, I can't date a guy that seriously watches cartoons in his spare time for fun. She's like, it was a deal breaker for me. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll throw the cartoons on when I'm flipping through and there's, you know, not a lot of other options. And they're funny. And I'm like, I can't believe they're still making these things.
Mm.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, I couldn't watch them day after day.
Yeah.
It just seemed, you know, odd. I had a girl that I dated way back. She really, really liked me, to be fair, and she was a really, really nice girl, attractive, all that, but she worked out like crazy. Like, she was into CrossFit and, like, you know, fitness and stuff like that, and you'd think that that would be fantastic, but there was just always kind of this did you just work out smell with any of the, like, leggings and stuff like that.
That's a real thing. Your workout clothes just start to stink after a while.
I mean, like, you can wash them and all that, but, yeah, like, I could smell it below the surface, and it was just kind of like, and it was like, you're always busy. Because you're always working out.
You broke up with her because her hobby was working out.
She was in too good a shape. Like, I mean, it was just, I didn't even have to break up with her. It was like 3 dates in and I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
There,
you know,
there was a one guy in college that was super into me and like, I was not into him, but mm-hmm. my friends were like, you have to go out with him. He's the head bouncer at the bar we always wanted to go to.
I mean, that's just good planning.
I know. And I like had to take one for the team. And I remember like, I went on a couple of dates with him and he was so nice.
Yeah.
But then I went to his apartment and he collects swords. And he had- And he just had swords everywhere and like in cases and glass cases. And I said to our friends, we got to find a new bar because I can never talk to this guy again.
I'm not going to be able to deal with it. I'm sorry. I wanted to help you out. But no, I can't do it.
Dude collects swords. Like, that's a hobby deal breaker. I'm not into that. What's the hobby that would be a deal breaker for you if your significant other was into it? 1-800-330-9999. Ashley.
I would never date someone that's in a band ever again. I did it once. It was horrible. I'd have to be out late in these like gross clubs with all these groupies, and it was just never again.
Yeah, the band guy. You know, he's not going to be around on Fridays and Saturdays. Probably not Thursdays either. Maybe not for the Sunday brunch either. You know, they got to get out, get those gigs. That's when it happens. And we got to have time to rehearse. Forget it. Are you coming to the show Friday night? Cool. See you there.
It's hard. I remember when I was young, it was like cool to date the guy in the band, whatever. But then you get older and you're like, I'm not staying. You don't go on till 11. Get out of here. Like, I'll be in my bed in my pajamas by then.
I can feel producer John's eyes on me from the other room.
Well, producer John is in a band. Several of them, we've learned.
Hey, whatever it takes to pay the bills.
If you make less than $30,000 a year, a new survey says that you're undateable, which is so sad. But truthfully, one of my friends just broke up with a guy because he watched cartoons too much, like the adult cartoons. And I was like, sometimes if somebody you're dating has a weird hobby, that's the deal breaker.
Yeah, I mean, money is one thing, right? We can't always affect our station in life at that time. But if you've got weird hobbies, that's something you can control.
What's the undateable hobby that you had to deal with? 1-800-330-9999. Rob.
This one is strange, but I was dating a girl who was so into anime, and I had never really seen it or experienced it, I guess. And it was all she talked about, all she did. And I was just like, I got to get out of this.
I mean, yeah. I don't think I've ever encountered anybody that's that strong on it that they're talking to me about it. I have this suspicion that the people that I know that are into anime, they look at me as if I'm stupid because I don't understand it or care about it the same way they do.
Yeah.
I would think that the first day or two that you're dating somebody that's into it, it would be cute. And then after that, it might get weird.
I don't know much about anime, but I want to learn more about it because
yeah.
I feel like there's so many people that are really into it.
Mm. Yeah, the cartoons are like this and the mouths move like this.
No, I understand
how
it looks.
Yeah, that part you got, right?
Right, that I got.
Right, and then, you know, that's it.
My nephew draws anime really beautifully, too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you understand it.
Or I want to date somebody that's really into it either, I guess.
Right. Yeah. The cosplay thing, now that could be interesting, but even that will get old after a while.
Right. Crystal, what hobby was a deal breaker?
Oh, my God. I dated this 50-year-old guy who, like, played intramural hockey. And, oh, Jesus God, he smelled like sweat all the time, and he was bruised up and battered, and it was just so unbecoming. It's like, yeah, no thanks.
I mean, the guy's in shape, but hockey gear smells.
It does smell.
Hockey gear.
It smells.
Yeah, no, the car is going to smell. If they're not smelling right now, they smell like they just got out of a shower, but they also look like they're kind of like sweaty. I worked with a guy who was the same thing. He was so into hockey and soccer, too. He played indoor soccer year round. He was in great shape. Older than me. Great shape. Dude, rank. I'm telling you, man. He did.
Rank.
Yeah. I think it's just the guy. One of our coworkers plays hockey. He plays like in a dad league, and he doesn't smell.
Oh, yeah?
I mean,
well,
I've never
got today.
Maybe not close enough to find out, though. I don't know.
Get in his car.
Yeah. Kevin, what was a hobby that was a deal breaker for you?
I dated this girl that was so into The Wizard of Oz, and at first it was sort of curious. Like, she had a big mural of Oz in her living room, and all right, that's cute. But then there was just so many little trinkets, and she would dress like Dorothy. And I'm not even talking about for Halloween. Like, she would do the braids in her hair and wear that blue gingham. Like, she was so, so into it. It was too much.
Mm. It's kind of hot. My wife did Dorothy one year, and I did the Scarecrow. You remember, it was a great Halloween. My wife looked fantastic.
It was Halloween.
Yeah.
Imagine you go to pick up your wife to go to dinner, and it's a Thursday, and you're going down the street to Applebee's.
Hot.
And that's what she's wearing.
Totally hot.
Really?
Totally hot. But I tell you what, I do know what you're talking about. I dated a girl that was so into, like, ducks. She was into ducks. She had stuffed ducks, rubber ducks. Like, she was a college graduate with a real job, and she had, like, 6 stuffed ducks in the back rearview dashboard of her car.
Red flag.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Forget this. This is nonsense, and I hated ducks for a while after that. Then you know what I realized? It's not the duck's fault.
It's not. No.
But it was a deal breaker for me. Yeah. I had to get out of that.
My. How things have changed. I mean, this is one of those times when you're a parent, you kind of just sit back and smirk a little bit. All right. Remember Marie Kondo? She was the Japanese organizing consultant. She became viral on Netflix after, like, her book went crazy. It was called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Yeah, and she had a whole thing on Netflix and everything. It became the thing that everybody was watching, and then, you know, we had to live the way that she told us to live.
Right, like basically organizing and decluttering your life. And remember, her whole thing was about if it doesn't spark joy, then you have to get rid of it.
It's got to go.
Yeah, here she is with a Japanese interpreter explaining what sparking joy is.
Key point for distinguishing items which spark joy from those which don't is to feel the item in your hands. Take each piece of clothing in your hand and see how your body responds. See if it sparks joy in you.
It's all we did. Is try to spark joy for a while, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? She just had her third child, and she said, now it's not that important anymore to keep your house tidy.
Oh,
it's not that important anymore for everything to always be in its place. Oh, it's so funny how that happens, right? Oh,
she gave up, and now we all get the witness.
Right, 3 kids, and now you realize that maybe your house can't be pristine. You know, of course, we're joking, but there are a lot of health benefits, according to science, of decluttering your life.
Yeah.
And they're saying, like, the number one thing you can do to help declutter your life is to get rid of 3 things every week that don't serve you.
I mean, every single week?
Yeah.
I just tried to dive in this yesterday, and it was excruciating.
So here's what they say. They say that if you can get rid of 3 things every single week, you'll be able to concentrate better, be more creative, better sleep, boost your mood, let go of the past, focus on the goals. Now, if you're not buying that, we're getting ready to put my house on the market, and we're getting ready to get our downstairs basement painted, which we should have done when we bought the house, but we never did anyway. So we had to clear everything out. So this past weekend, we had to get rid of some big stuff to make way.
Yeah.
We got rid of 2 end tables, like the wrought iron, like they're 100 pounds each.
Sure.
It was like the 100 pounds of each of those tables, the weight being lifted off my shoulders, watching it get put outside into, like...
Did you love these tables before at some point?
I don't know if they ever sparked joy.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
they ever did. But here's what I know is I touched them and it was heavy and there was no joy in me. And I was like, these gotta go. And then the pandemic dumbbells. Remember when you couldn't find dumbbells anywhere and the gyms were closed during the pandemic?
Yes.
I had so many mismatched ones and I was like, I gotta get rid of these. Like, I had new ones and I was like, all right, these gotta go. So I picked them up literally and it was like the weight of them was being lifted by having them like out of these boxes in my basement, put outside on the sidewalk for somebody to come take them.
Released from that.
And then in my garage, there's been a gas stove. We redid our kitchen a few years ago, and the gas stove was fine, but like it was just old, so I refused to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that gas stove get lugged out was the most... Oh my gosh.
I mean, where did you think you were going to put it?
I don't know.
What did you think you were going to do with it if you didn't sell it?
I felt like what a waste it was to get rid of it, but I could never wanted to sell it. So I just put like a Facebook ad up. I'm like, if anybody needs it, they were at my house within 15 minutes, a family that needed it.
Somebody needed it.
Oh my, it felt so good. So I was like, if everybody can do this, get rid of three things every week, how good would you feel? So next, in order to spark joy in the lives of Raven and producer John, they're going to get rid of three things that are cluttering their homes. Now, what did they bring in? It's coming up. Marie Kondo, remember her? She's the Japanese organizer that went viral on Netflix because she had the art of tidying up. If something didn't spark joy, you had to get rid of it out of your house.
Remember? Seemed like a good idea at the plan. I mean, at the time, she was all over Netflix. People were cleaning up. It was pandemic. We were looking for activities.
Yeah, this is what you do if you're looking to see if an item sparks joy.
Feel the item in your hands. Take each piece of clothing in your hand and see how your body responds. See if it sparks joy in you.
So that's exactly what we're going to do, because now she has three kids and she says she doesn't get to tidy up as much, which made me giggle because, hey, welcome to the real world, Marie.
Right.
But they did say, and according to science, there's a lot of health benefits of eliminating three items from your home every single week that don't, quote unquote, spark joy, but things that aren't great for you that you feel are cluttering your life.
Yeah. When you brought this up, you told me to stay away from clothes. So that's what I did. I stayed away from that.
Okay. So producer John and Raven, you guys were each asked to bring three items out of your house that you're going to get rid of forever. John, let's start with you. What are your three items?
All right. First things first is this thing of random blocks that my son just does not play with ever. They just never... I don't know. They don't spark joy in him, clearly, and they certainly don't spark any joy in me, especially when I step on them.
I like the fact that things that to declutter your life, you just got rid of toys that didn't belong to you.
Well, got rid of something that that his son cared about.
As Marie is finding out right now, them toys will clutter your house.
Oh, it's true. It is true.
The second thing is this Red Sox green little mini green monster
pillow.
I didn't
know you were a Red Sox fan.
I'm not.
I didn't think so.
Where did that come from?
So over the holidays, my family lived like deep in Red Sox territory. I grew up in New York City, so I am pretty much anti-Boston everything. Mm. But my kid for 2 seconds enjoyed this thing, and my aunt was like, oh my gosh, you gotta keep it, honey, take it home, and blah, blah, blah. And then guess what? A couple minutes later, he completely forgot about it. Correct. And does not care about it at all anymore. It needs to be gone.
Looks like a dog bed.
Two out of three things that John is getting rid of belong to his child.
Right.
All right.
Now let me wrap it up with something important to me. It was too large for me to actually bring into the studio, but it is my 80-pound, 60-watt guitar amp that is just serving absolutely no purpose in my life anymore.
Now that is a good thing to get rid of to declutter your life.
Yes.
Was it Marshall, though? Because if it was Marshall, you keep it.
No, it's Fender, and it's really not worth, honestly, that much money. And I'm going to sell it. I'm not going to get rid of it.
Okay. All right, Raven, what are your three items that we're decluttering your life with?
Okay,
first, the microphone.
This brand new pool filter cartridge, which is not the right size for my pool filter, which I ordered by accident last year. But you know me, Anna. I don't return stuff.
It's true.
So if something shows up in my house and it's the wrong thing, either my wife returns it or it doesn't happen.
So pool filter. What's the second item?
Christmas tree stand. So every year, my wife tells me that this thing is starting to fail. This year, the tree actually came down randomly. And she says that we need to get a new one. Here's the thing. I can't remember if she said that actually just to get rid of it or just, you know, we're going to have to get a new one again next year. So you know that when we go to get the tree, of course, it's going to be, where's the tree stand?
Oh, you're giving me so much trouble.
Yeah, I snuck it out the house this morning. I didn't even tell her about it yesterday.
Okay, you should probably order one right now on Amazon before you forget.
Probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
And there's this item right here.
Yeah.
You know how we love stools in my house.
Uh-huh.
So we have ordered seriously like 45 stools over the last like 2-3 years.
Why?
And this one was actually one of the ones that worked in the house. But then somebody with their big fat legs stepped on the side here and broke this side piece. But either way, she says that I can't fix it again because somebody will just inevitably put their leg on there again and then it will break again. And I'm not ready to get rid of it because it's the final one that was the right height and everything.
All right. Do you guys feel better now that you've gotten rid of those three items?
I feel lighter.
Okay.
I mean, I feel great. But when I get home,
you might be in trouble. But that's fine. We'll deal with that later.
Right.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. The Kelce brothers are trending. Why? Who are they? Well, they're the brothers that are facing off against each other in the Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks. Travis is the Chiefs tight end. Jason is the Eagles center. Here they are arguing.
My mom mentioned my brother's her favorite. Until I get kids in the family, I will be second to Jason.
I'm not buying none of this.
What do you mean?
Can you be comfortable enough to let me tell a story without feeling like I'm attacking your masculinity? That's right. I used to powerbomb you all the time growing up.
Yep, just typical brother stuff right there.
Yeah, Travis has already won the Super Bowl. Jason has not.
Mm-hmm. And they continue. Funny you should bring that up.
You go in the Hall of Fame, you have more Pro Bowls, you have more All-Pros. Let me have the Super Bowl, okay? Just stop being selfish.
That was a full-on temper tantrum.
If there's anybody that knows how to get under my skin, it's Travis Kelce.
It's so funny because, I don't know, when you think about, like, NFL players, like, you forget that they're real people. They sound like two brothers that are just fighting, you know?
Yeah, and they're not the only ones that, you know, have been in the league or, you know, there's been all sorts of different duos before, but the first time that they've ever played each other in the Super Bowl, that two brothers have ever played in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring that up because Donna Kelce was also trending like crazy, who's their mom. So Donna and Ed Kelce are their parents, and she's the first mom to have two sons playing each other in the Super Bowl.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like a lot of these families, like the man, Eli Manning, like the Manning family, they come from famous parents. They're not. Donna and Ed are like a normal. She's a banker. He did like construction or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, not every player in the NFL is born from a professional athlete.
Right. And she was trending last year because she went to both their games in a single day. Mm. She started in Tampa and then she flew to Kansas City to watch both her boys play.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she even has like a custom jersey made that's like half Eagles, half Chiefs, so she doesn't show any favorites.
She's the only person that can get away with that.
Yeah, here they are talking about it, mom and dad, Ed and Donna.
Thank God they're both on offense and probably rules out any fist fights.
It's your hopes and dreams coming true, but it's your worst fears. You know, somebody's going to go home a loser, and neither one of them lose very well.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, they have to have the conversation where you're like, Ma, Dad, who do you want to win? Just tell me.
Right.
Who do you love more?
Yeah.
Is it me or Travis? Tell me who you love more.
Yeah. I think that she wants the Eagles this time, if I had to guess. I think so. I mean, Travis has already got one. Again, the Chiefs, they've already won.
I don't think so. I think that, like, when you're a mom and you say, like, I love you both the same, you really mean it.
Yeah, but they can't both win. I'm sorry to tell you. It's not soccer.
Yeah, but you can't you can't both win in soccer, Raven. I don't understand why you put down soccer when you know nothing about it.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Can't do it.
I don't know. I think if you're a mom, you're in a really tough spot in this situation. Like, what do you do? Because this is when you can get some brownie points with those grandkids. You'd be like, whoever gives me the most grandkids will be my favorite child. And they better get to work because there's not a lot of time left before the Super Bowl. All over the news, you've been hearing about Ozempic, the rich, famous people way to get skinny fast. And now people are getting Ozempic face. And what is this all about? Dr. Jennifer Wider. You can find her online at drwider.com. She's a health expert. Dr. Wider, what is up with this?
So these drugs have been around for a little while, actually. They're called semaglutides. They were originally designed for type 2 diabetes. And what happened was, as a result of one of these drug trials, they saw there was a dramatic weight loss. And so they became sort of remarketed and recently were approved by the FDA for chronic weight management. One of the things that have been hitting the media is this Ozempic face. And Ozempic face refers to those facial changes that people using this drug get after using it for a couple weeks. So we're talking about like legions of people that may be skinny but are now looking like, let's say, the cast of The Walking Dead.
Oh my gosh.
It's a little frightening.
So doctor, I mean, forgive me here, I mean, are you telling me that basically they've cracked the code? You take this injectable, and I'm sure that there's other ways that we could deliver this substance at one point or another, and you'll just lose weight? Or in the end, you know, you mentioned Walking Dead or whatever, is this just the first of other side effects that we will see that come out of this? And will it, in fact, have long-lasting health repercussions for people?
So the hollowing of people's temples, the loss of facial fat, only really affects a certain group of people. It's not going to be everybody. And so you see a lot of younger people that are taking this that aren't going to experience these side effects. Some of the other side effects are like nausea. People experience vomiting or diarrhea while they're taking this in the beginning, and then their bodies sort of acclimate so they don't have these side effects. So my guess is most likely these drugs are going to be here to stay, and the drugs that we see in the future are going to be different versions of this that are even better tolerated.
I don't understand why it has such a negative connotation, like, oh, the Ozempic and this.
If we hate shortcuts.
Well, you know, not
haters for, hate shortcuts.
I don't even think it's that. I think that if you're somebody like me who has battled weight their entire lives, right, and they've had a ton of issues, and it doesn't matter how much you diet and exercise, you can't lose 10, 15 pounds. And this is a medically safe way to lose the weight. Why aren't we just offering it to people like that?
Anna, your point is really important, right? There are people that suffer from being heavy, from being overweight, from being obese. And it's not just a question of exercising and watching what you eat. That doesn't work for a lot of people. And we don't look at obesity as necessarily a disease. A lot of people look down on people. There's a tremendous amount of bias on people in the United States that are overweight. But for a vast majority of these people, obesity, just like heart disease, is a disease. And for many people, exercise and diet just is not going to cut it. Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro are drugs that can prevent real health consequences.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like, you know, these are all great. And like you said, Doc, is that drugs like these, better drugs that are coming in the future. Right now, there's going to be a bunch of Ozempic zombies. I'll see you all in 18 months. Walking with your arms straight out, nice and thin, a little caught in the face. But
dragging your legs. Yeah, right. Dragging a foot. That's
I'll
right.
be like, I knew it.
One last question, Dr. Water. So, I have a lot of questions, but just to get to the last one, I know there's a shortage, and that's been a big thing, too, all over the news, where the people that should be getting it for the diabetes aren't getting it because everybody else is on it. Do you think that shortage will come to an end soon, or do you think it's going to be like that for a while?
The issue is that Ozempic is sort of the name that we all have caught on to. So everybody calls this entire class of drugs Ozempic, but there are many semaglutides available on the market. And so there's a shortage in the name brands that people, you know, that caught on, and everybody's like, it's the Kim Kardashian drug or the Hollywood drug. But there are lots of drugs like this that different people can take, and there shouldn't really be a shortage for that long.
Dr. Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Sam and Angie. Angie, let's start with you. What's going on?
You know, for the last, I don't know, about 8 or 9 months ago, my mom decided to stop driving at night. She said she just didn't feel very comfortable. And then a couple months ago, she has decided not to drive during the day as well. So she's done driving completely. Says she's a little too nervous. It just makes her uncomfortable. And I get it. I've been driving her everywhere. I'm happy to do it. I drive her to work. I pick her up from work to run errands, you know, to her book club, which is, you know, now in person, to the diner to meet up with her friends. I mean, you get it, right? And my husband feels as though this isn't the right thing for me to be doing. I mean, my mom is only 63, and I totally understand that, but she's my mom, and I'm going to go above and beyond for her.
Sam, why is this bothering you?
It's a huge waste of Angie's time, first of all. I mean,
She's my mom. Whatever.
Yeah, Angie, I get it, but I think she's manipulating you. I mean, it's one thing. I understand driving at night is different. But it seemed like all of a sudden she flipped this switch where she can't see during the day. She's not an old woman. She's young and vibrant. I mean, she can see well enough to work. She can see well enough to read a book for book club. I mean, she can do all these things. It just seems conveniently just to spend more time with her daughter. Like, she just wants to be driven around. I hate to see you be a personal chauffeur.
You know, I mean, I would have to listen. If your mother is expressing to you that she's having anxiety about driving, I'm not sure that the sight is really the issue. And Sam, you're not really a doctor either, right? So unless you dragged your mother-in-law into the office to have her tested or whatever, I mean, you have to kind of believe somebody if they say they can't drive or they're not comfortable driving anymore. On the other hand, you know, he's kind of got a point in the fact, Anna, right, that it's not sustainable. You can't do this every day. Every time your mom needs to go to and fro anywhere the rest of your life, when she's 63
right.
years old, she can live another 30 years, you know, from them,
yeah.
at least.
I mean, now we're going to see how long you think she's going to live.
So, I mean, something has to be figured out, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that can't go on like that. Like you said, it's already been disruptive to your life. She's your mom. You want to be there for her, but you can't, you know, give up your life because your mom needs a ride.
Gosh, that's so hard, because I would do anything my mom wanted ever. So if she needed it, I would definitely do it. I see where you're coming from, Angie. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, you have to figure out
it's some really tough
ride share or something, or you have to coax her back in the car. But God forbid something happened. If you do,
right,
then you're going to feel guilty, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you have to find her a car service.
Or I guess you got to convince her that she can ride a bus or something.
But, Angie, you don't mind. You said you don't mind. It's your mom, and you make time for her, and you're cool with it, right?
There are moments where it does stress me out, and I think that's also what Sam's talking about. It's like, not only is it taking away my time with the family and things that we should be taking care of as a unit, you know, I do get a little stressed. So I have a shorter temper at moments, and, you know, I get it.
Yeah, part of me also thinks, though, that if you're the one doing it, and sure, everybody gets stressed with everything you have to do, and it doesn't bother you that much because you want to help your mom, then, Sam, why are you so worried about it?
But I mean, if your spouse is, you got to deal with the other one's stress.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Sam, that you know that long-term this isn't sustainable, so you just want Angie to nip it in the bud now and find a solution to this. But you may see Angie's side, too. It's her mom. If she's comfortable doing this right now, even though it gets her a little stressed every now and again, then let her do it. She knows her mom better than anyone, and if she wants to be able to help her, let her help her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's just so hard. You don't want to do anything for your parents. You'll do anything for them. You love them so much. But Sam and Angie are having an issue because Angie's mom has decided that she's not comfortable driving anymore. Her mom is 63. Which is still very young.
Sure.
So she's basically relied on Angie to become her chauffeur, driving her, you know, everywhere she needs to go. And Angie, you know, she admits she gets stressed out and it's a lot, but she wants to do whatever she can. And if her mom doesn't feel comfortable driving, like, what is she going to do? She's going to drive her mom.
It's a whole lot, right? To manage your own life every single day nowadays, the way things are, right? And you've got a household and you've got a partner, a spouse that's saying, you know, I need your help here too. And then, of course, the phone rings. And it's not just the times that are planned for. This is the thing about being somebody's, you know, caretaker or driver is that it's not just get me to this appointment. It's not just get me to work. It's also, oh, wait, I forgot something. I need something at the grocery store. It's, you know, this type of thing came up, or I just want to go hang out with my friends.
Sam says, his wife says, her husband says, we got to put an end to it. Like, you can't just keep running around every time your mom calls. Like, you have a family, you have your own job, you have things to do. But does he even have a say if she's happy to do it? 1-800-330-9999. Lisa, whose side are you on?
I am definitely on her husband's side. I think it's really sad that her mom depends on her like that when she has her own family to care for.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you need to do, I mean, personally myself, I want to do all that I can for my parents, especially if my mother came to me and said she needed something. But at 63... And there's a long way to go here, right? This is a long journey.
I'm at that age now, and I would never do that to my children.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, I would spend both.
All right, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. What would you do? Couples Court. Angie's mother is young. She's only about 63 years old, and she has decided she's not comfortable driving anymore. So Angie has become her de facto chauffeur. And she gets stressed with it. She's got her own life, her own kids, her own chores, her own work. She admits she'll do anything for her mom, even if it means driving her around. Her husband, Sam, he's not happy with it.
Well, it's just not sustainable. This cannot last. It can't go on this way. To do this for a week or two is one thing. But already, he's seeing cracks in the facade, right? So that means that it's just going to get worse. You can't do this forever.
What do you think? Would you say something to your mom about this? 1-800-330-9999. Carol, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on?
I'm on Angie's side. I've been taking care of, well, my mother passed 8 years ago. My mother was sick since I was 12, 13 years old, so I was a constant in her life, and I always helped her, and I didn't mind doing it. As far as the lady that she's 63 and she doesn't want to drive, I'm 73, and I still drive all over to take care of my grandchildren, but everybody is different.
Hey, Diane, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I think that the mom is being extremely selfish and taking advantage of her relationship with her daughter. It's not just disruptive to the daughter's life, it's disruptive to her whole family. I'm definitely on the husband's side.
Reva, whose side are you on?
I'm sort of neutral. I'm on the wife's side. Simply, I think this is a temporary issue. I think what's more important is they should seek out some medical advice, because there's something going on with her mother, from whether it's anxiety or maybe something physical. And I really think they should rule that out and just be patient and support her for the short term and figure out a long-term solution so everybody can be happy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sam, our audience agreed with you. Angie, you have to have a conversation with your mom. You know, this is fine for now, but we need to have a long-term solution, and let's just figure out what that is.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I kind of understand that, yeah. But it's just really hard. It's my mom.
I get that. It's a very tough situation to be in. On the other hand, Sam, you've got to be somewhat relieved, I'm guessing.
I am. And of course, we're going to see her and we'll both give her rides. But yeah, there has to be some solution. It's not going to last long term.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $800. All right, Phil, you ready to play today?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it there, Phil. Good luck.
All right. Okay, Phil. Raven is walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. You beat him, you win. Ties go to Raven. Ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Number one. Jennifer Lopez, Kim Kardashian, and Oprah all sat together at the 25th anniversary of Anastasia Beverly Hills. What type of product is Anastasia?
Makeup.
Number two, Marie Kondo admits her house is a mess now because she has 3 kids. She became famous by creating books and shows about organizing and tidying up. She famously said, "Only keep things if it sparks what?"
Joy.
Number three, Jamie Lee Curtis received a Lifetime Achievement Honor at the AARP Movies for Grown-Up Awards. What does AARP stand for?
About the movie one.
Number four, the trailer for Netflix's Murder Mystery 2 was released. It stars Adam Sandler and which Friends alum?
I don't know.
At number five, Nick Offerman has been trending with people calling his appearance in what HBO show as the greatest performance of the year so far?
I'll go to Ellen.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Raven! Let's go.
Yo!
2 out of 5 for Phil.
Oh, okay there, Phil. Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Jennifer Lopez, Kim Kardashian, and Oprah all sat together at the 25th anniversary of Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Okay.
What type of product is Anastasia?
It's makeup, right?
Makeup is correct. Oprah, Kim Kardashian, J-Lo, Heidi Klum, everybody was there. Sofia Vergara. I was like, that is a party you want to get invited to.
I think it was Oprah's birthday, too, wasn't it? It was something like that.
Yeah. Number two, Marie Kondo admits that her house is a mess now because she has 3 kids. She became famous by creating books and shows about organizing and tidying up. She famously said she only keeps things if they spark what?
Joy. They got to spark the joy.
That's right. Number three, Jamie Lee Curtis received a Lifetime Achievement Honor at the AARP Movies for Grown-Up Awards. What does AARP stand for?
Isn't it the American Association of Retired Persons?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming up on my IHOP discount in the next, like, decade, so I want that rootin' tootie fresh and fruity.
All right. Number four, the trailer for Netflix's Murder Mystery 2 was released. It stars Adam Sandler and which Friends alum?
Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. Number five, Nick Offerman has been trending with people calling his appearance in what HBO show is the greatest performance of the year so far?
The Last of Us. I watched the episode last night. It's phenomenal. It's a lot of chest hair, but it was a really great episode. A lot of chest hair. Nick, let's trim that back.
Well, I mean, he's Ron Swanson. You really think that he's going to start trimming his chest hair? No, that's what he lives for. He lives in a cabin.
Wasn't just him. It was... There's a lot of chess here. Just scape it up is all I'm saying.
All right. I'm sorry, Phil. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Phil, I can't be given.
Better luck next time, Phil. Enjoy that shirt. $900 tomorrow.